Good morning, teachers. thank you for joining me as I go over my Holy Spirit's reading assignment on teaching from A Course in Miracles. Today we're going to be continuing in A Course in Miracles, Chapter 5, Section 3, which is The Guide to Salvation. And we're beginning on Paragraph 5. Before I get started, does anybody else have anything that they want to share or ask? All right then, friends, let's just get to work. So again, beginning in Chapter 5, Section 3, Paragraph 5, that's page 79 on the second edition of the Blue Book. Delay is of the ego because time is its concept. Both time and delay are meaningless in eternity. I have said before that the Holy Spirit is God's answer to the ego. Everything of which the Holy Spirit reminds you is in direct opposition to the ego's notions, because true and false perceptions are themselves opposed. The Holy Spirit has the task of undoing what the ego has made. He undoes it at the same level on which the ego operates, or the mind would be unable to understand the change. One thought is coming up in my mind as I'm reading this paragraph, and it has to do with the desire to awaken, or, you know, some people might call it the desire to be enlightened. You know, one thing that I have felt off and on as I've been on this spiritual path is that desire, you know, that I want to be enlightened feeling. There's also that feeling of, you know, why hasn't it happened yet? What's wrong with me? Of course, follows, goes right along with that. What's wrong with me? Why aren't I enlightened yet? You know, it's really interesting because the Holy Spirit has pointed out to me very clearly that that desire in that way, the desire to be enlightened or the desire to awaken, can actually be, and in fact often is, actually the ego. You know, because the ego is the one that perceives that something is wrong with me and I need to be fixed. The Holy Spirit does not share that perception at all. The Holy Spirit's perception is everything is perfect right now. And you can see how the two perceptions are in direct opposition, just as this paragraph is saying. And yet many of us seem to suffer from the something is wrong with me, I need to awaken process. And what I have found, or what the Holy Spirit has taught me, is what's really good is that whenever I see that thought cross my mind, just to let it go, just as I would any other attack thought. Because in effect, that is an attack thought. Because that is a thought that's actually saying that right now, I am not as God created me, and I need to fix something. I am as God created me right now. And that's what the Holy Spirit teaches. There is nothing wrong with me right now. There is nothing that needs to be fixed right now. And when I am placed back into that place, it allows me to actually continue the healing of the mind without the same sense of struggle. I still watch the mind and I find the ego thoughts that need to be let go, but there's no longer a sense of I have to do this in order to fix myself behind it. It's just doing it. It's just doing it. You know, because really all that is wrong, okay, all that is wrong is perception, literally. There is nothing wrong in reality, and I can share that with you, not just because I read it in a book, but again, because the Holy Spirit has been generous with me, are the words that are coming to mind, in that I have been able to have glimmers, not, you know, not a consistent perception, but I have had glimmers of true perception, and those glimmers have been enough to convince me that truly there is nothing wrong, and that whenever I think something is wrong, I am simply misperceiving. So nothing needs to be fixed. Nothing needs to be fixed. Everything is perfectly fine right now, and I promise you that. So whenever we're feeling that we need to awaken or that we need to be enlightened, those thoughts are actually ego thoughts that can be let go. So, you know, that's kind of what was rising in my mind as I was reading this paragraph, because the ego can seem to be very tricky. And so it's really wonderful to just remember that everything is always perfect. And anything that is disturbing my peace, even the thought that I need to awaken, is something that can truly just be let go. And then we can move back into trust and back into a place of now and a place of peace with the Holy Spirit. Does anybody have anything else they want to share about the paragraph that I just read or the comments that I just made on that paragraph? All right, let's move on to paragraph 6 then. Perfect. Oops, Charles has something. Please, Charles, go ahead.
Thank you, Regina. I just came back into the room. I've been away, and I just got the tail end of your presentation. But it just strikes me so right on. Absolutely. We are all perfect in this very moment, and we need to enjoy ourselves as we are. And let the chips fall where they may. Where they may, as it is. I think I totally comprehend what you are telling us, and I thank you for that.
You're welcome, Charles. I love you, and it's good to see you again. All right. Well, we are reading again from Chapter 5, Section 3 in A Course in Miracles, and I'm ready to begin Paragraph 6. I'm also noticing a comment from Carolyn, which I'm going to stop and read. Carolyn says, I am noticing that desire to awaken seems to be fear-based and can bring up guilt feelings that all is not well, and I just need to remember that I am perfect. Absolutely. Yeah, that's it. In a nutshell, perfect, Carolyn. And also I noticed that Blackie10 has made a comment, you need do nothing. And that is also absolutely true. In fact, in A Course in Miracles, Jesus tells us that we are much better off focusing on the thought, I need do nothing, than we are asking, what should I do? And in fact, Jesus tells us that I need do nothing is actually a statement of total allegiance. Because when we put our trust in that thought, I need do nothing, we really are accepting that everything is perfect now. And of course, the funny thing is that doesn't actually mean we won't do anything. But the doing seems to come from a completely different place. So I need do nothing is absolute, complete allegiance to the idea that I am perfect right now and there is nothing that needs to be fixed. All right, so moving on to paragraph 6. I have repeatedly emphasized that one level of the mind is not understandable to another. So it is with the ego and the Holy Spirit, with time and eternity. Eternity is an idea of God, so the Holy Spirit understands it perfectly. Time is a belief of the ego, so the lower mind, which is the ego's domain, accepts it without question. The only aspect of time that is eternal is now. And you know, it's funny because that last sentence is such a simple sentence. The only aspect of time that is eternal is now. Such a simple sentence. And it took me so damn long to get that. You know, I did not understand that at all as I was reading A Course in Miracles. The now concept, now was truly invisible to me when I started A Course in Miracles. My mind was always in the future or always in the past, and now truly did not even exist. And so reading that statement, you know, when I was completely confused, almost pure ego, obviously not pure ego, or I wouldn't have been brought to A Course in Miracles, but 98% of my thoughts came from the ego at that time. That statement literally made no sense to me. That's how confused I was. And that's exactly what this paragraph is saying. The ego cannot understand that statement, but the Holy Spirit understands that statement perfectly. So, you know, as we switch within our mind, as we kind of switch channels and we move away from the ego thought system and we move closer to the Holy Spirit thought system, now becomes all there is. And I'm going to stop for a moment and let Nicole take the mic. Nicole, please go ahead.
Hi, Regina. I'm actually, I was listening from my bed, and I heard you speaking about desire, and I raised my hand before you started reading that section. That's funny, because what I wanted to speak about was, for me, desire, okay, is a really very, very powerful, wonderful thing when it's a desire to embrace now.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I find I use desire a lot in regards to just the desire to switch channels and to tune in and to embrace now. And then the desire just flows on into the effect and result of that desire to embrace now. So anyway, I just wanted to share that, and then you started reading this next section, so that flowed on perfectly. So I'm going to go back to my bed and listen now, so I couldn't help myself. I had to take something next.
Okay, Nicole, and if you fall asleep while I'm talking, I won't be offended. I know it's very late in Australia. But yeah, you know, it's funny. I'm glad Nicole brought that up, because actually that's a thought that kind of flashed across my mind, but it flashed across my mind so quickly that by the time I finished whatever I was saying at the time, I forgot about it and I didn't circle around and grab it. And now Nicole is offering me that opportunity, so I appreciate it. But yeah, you know, it's funny because in the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, for anyone that has read that, desire is very strongly emphasized. And in fact, by the time we got to Revelation, we were actually told that the only thing that would help us to awaken is desire. So it almost sounds like the two statements contradict each other, that the desire to awaken comes from the ego, and yet the only thing that will allow us to awaken is desire. And, you know, that's why you really have to listen beyond words, because any words, when you're talking about spiritual concepts, any set of words really does not work. So you really need to listen beyond the words, and that comes from listening with the Holy Spirit, or listening with the heart, some people will say. But you can feel the difference in the desire, and that's what it comes down to. If that desire to awaken comes from that feeling of something is wrong with me, therefore I need to awaken, you can feel that. That's the desire that's coming from the ego, and that's the one that needs to be let go. Because in accepting that desire, you're also accepting the thought that there is something wrong with you. That's the ego. If the desire to awaken just comes from this loving desire to know thyself, and to know only thyself, and to be free of everything that is not thyself, it feels completely different from within. And that's the desire that actually leads us to awakening. Yes, Nicole, please take the mic.
Oh, I'm sorry. But, I think the difference is between what is the focus on. Is the focus on the lack? Or is the focus on the desire to experience as true, what is true, you know? Or is the desire, focused on the lack? You know, I think that's the difference. It's where the focus is, because where the focus is what we're strengthening, isn't it? So yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Nicole. And now I'm not at all worried you're going to fall asleep while I'm talking, because you keep jumping up. You may never get to sleep, Nicole. But yeah, absolutely. So again, it's really paying attention to the subtle, subtle feelings within. That's what we want to pay attention to. Does anybody else have any comments they want to share about this thought? Okay, again, so we were reading then in the Course in Miracles at the end of paragraph 6, the only aspect of time that is eternal is now. And we were commenting that, you know, as we become more and more in touch with the Holy Spirit, that becomes a truth. That becomes a truth where we're truly only focused on now. And if anyone feels like they're still in a place where they can't even find now, you know, all that really needs to be done is giving the willingness to see that all there is now. And then also when you notice within your mind that you're focusing on the future or focusing on the past, just having willingness to let that thought go. And then Nicola's writing, I can sleep in as long as I want in the morning. I'm up now, I'll stay up a little longer. Yeah, we woke Nicole right up. All right, let's move on to paragraph 7. Again, we're in chapter 5, section 3 of A Course in Miracles, paragraph 7. The Holy Spirit is the mediator between the interpretations of the ego and the knowledge of the Spirit. His ability to deal with symbols enables him to work with the ego's beliefs in its own language. You know, that statement is really, really important. And what's really coming up for me is that what happens sometimes when we are students of a particular path, we become very attached to the symbols of that path. And I think sometimes what we don't see is that our attachment to the symbols actually becomes another block to listening to the Holy Spirit. And it's really important that we understand everything in the world and everything in A Course in Miracles or the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament or Shanti Christo or the Bible or anything else that we may use. All of those things are symbols. And truly, none of those things are truth. None of those things are truth. They're all symbols. And the Holy Spirit can use any set of symbols that we believe in order to communicate with us. But the point is to move us way beyond the symbols. And an attachment to symbols can actually become a hindrance itself. So really what we want to do is, again, let go of our attachment of symbols and allow the Holy Spirit to use whatever symbols are useful to us. But also when we're feeling that it's time for that set of symbols to be dropped or even to be reinterpreted. Because I've had many symbols. You know, you could say the sentence stays the same, but the understanding of the sentence seems to change as the Holy Spirit takes me to another level of understanding. So the symbols themselves can be reinterpreted over and over and over again. So there really is no one interpretation that is, quote, right. In fact, whenever we're believing there is a right interpretation and a wrong interpretation of a set of symbols, you know, that is a clue within our own mind that we've actually slipped back into the ego thinking again, because there is no such thing. There really is no such thing. The Holy Spirit will interpret the same set of symbols differently when it's helpful to the listener for the symbols to be interpreted differently now. So there is no such thing as a right interpretation or a wrong interpretation. And I'm noticing Carolyn is writing, sometimes the ego thoughts can seem to mimic the Holy Spirit thoughts so close that it is like fool's gold, glitters, but not the real thing, and that can seem tricky. That is very, very true. And in fact, that even is, you know, one example of that is we were talking about the desire to awaken, you know, that could be from the Holy Spirit or it could be from the ego. And we talked about you can tell the difference by how you feel. If the feeling is there's something wrong with you, the feeling is a feeling of lack, you know, it's not a feeling of completion and perfect, you know, then it may be the, quote, fool's gold. Because the Holy Spirit just doesn't make you feel that way. So again, we want to remember that symbols are that. They are just symbols. And we want to allow the Holy Spirit to interpret the symbols for us in a way that is helpful to us at that point in our understanding and healing. And then if another time comes where the Holy Spirit wants to reinterpret the same set of symbols in a different way for us, we want to allow that. And you just kind of flow with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to lead you right out of the dream in that flow. So let me go back to my reading in paragraph 7. The Holy Spirit is the mediator between the interpretations of the ego and the knowledge of the Spirit. His ability to deal with symbols enables him to work with the ego's beliefs in its own language. His ability to look beyond symbols into eternity enables him to understand the laws of God for which he speaks. Okay, I'm going to let Charles go now. Please go ahead, Charles.
This business that you spoke of, symbols changing and having different meanings, is so important. People get so aggravated with me. For 25 years, I have been trying to convince them not to highlight in their books, not to underline, not to write in the margins. And why? You just heard Regina Akers tell you that if you tell something that is telling you this thing by underlining it, if you read it again, you can't come to the new understanding, the new symbol that is there. The words are the same, but the understanding is different. And so it's just so important if you can. None of my books have a line in them anywhere. No markers. Nothing. I always come to them and read what is there in this moment. And that's what's there for me in this moment. And that's the only way you can stay current, and the only way the Holy Spirit can continue to work for you is by you allowing Him to change symbols. The meaning of symbols. It's just such an important thing in my mind to be able to come to that understanding. And I thank you for allowing me to present this.
Thank you, Charles. And now I'm just going to share a funny story about a thought I had in my mind this week that was an ego thought, because I was cracking up as you were speaking, Charles, but it's a perfect example of what you're saying. My Course in Miracles is very marked up, and when I was reading it the first time and the second time, as I would feel deeply inspired by the Holy Spirit, I would sometimes write in the margin exactly what that inspiration was. And now a lot of those I literally have moved beyond. They were truly stepping stone inspirations, and I have moved beyond them. And it was so funny on Sunday, because I went to see John Mundy in Charlotte, North Carolina, and he asked if anybody had a Course in Miracles book that he could borrow, and I lent him mine. But I saw that little fear thought in my mind that I hope he doesn't read any of that stuff that's in my margins, because I understand differently now. And then, of course, I had to let that thought go. But that is perfect proof of what Charles is saying and what I'm sharing right now, that the same thing can be read differently when you are ready for it to be understood differently. And so the Holy Spirit just takes you deeper and deeper and deeper. Whenever there's a conversation about, quote, a right interpretation of the Course, or, quote, a wrong interpretation of the Course, in my mind, I literally just step away from it, because I am fully aware there's truly no such thing. You got that? There is. Honestly, I swear to you, no such thing as a right or wrong interpretation of the Course. The Holy Spirit will meet you right where you're at and will take you higher and higher and higher, so that the interpretation will change for you. And then eventually, as the Course itself says, you're going to let the whole thing go. It will just completely disappear for you. It's really wonderful just to keep that in mind and not to let ourselves get confused by who has the right or wrong interpretation of the Course. In fact, I'm still a firm believer that really what the Course is a self-study guide. And the reason the Course is a self-study guide is because the Holy Spirit can meet us right where we're at when it's just me, my Course, and the Holy Spirit. And it's always, always perfect for me. And though I enjoy joining in groups, I really don't have the same experience in a group that I do alone with just me, the Holy Spirit, and my Course in Miracles. So that's because then the Holy Spirit can really interpret it just for me, right where I'm at, right what I need that day. And it's always, always, always absolutely perfect for me. So again, on paragraph 7, we're talking about the Holy Spirit uses symbols to work with the ego's beliefs in the ego's own language. His ability to look beyond symbols into eternity enables him to understand the laws of God. Now that sentence is so much more important than I once even would have imagined. In fact, it's not one of the heavily underlined sentences in my book, because there was a time when I did not understand what this sentence says. But this sentence is so important. It says the Holy Spirit's ability to look beyond the symbols into eternity enables him to understand the laws of God. Now, we've talked about the laws of God before. We talked about A Course in Miracles uses the words extension and the words projection in order to talk about the laws of God. And the only reason two words are used is to help us see the difference between what is true thought being shared, that's called extension, or false thought being shared, that is called projection. But in both cases, what is the same is thoughts being shared. Those are the laws of God. That is the law of God. Since there is no separation, all thought is shared. And the Holy Spirit understands that. And so what the Holy Spirit can do, even before we understand that law, is the Holy Spirit can meet us in whatever way is helpful for us in order to help us let go of fearful thoughts, guilt thoughts, attack thoughts, in order to comfort us so that we have more peaceful thoughts, more loving thoughts. And the Holy Spirit kind of helps us to cooperate with the laws of God in the way that we truly want to before we even realize what the laws of God are and what we are doing. So because the Holy Spirit understands what is going on here, the Holy Spirit understands there is no separation, there is no private thought. All thoughts are shared and experienced in some way within our oneness. Or as Jesus tells us, there are no neutral thoughts. The Holy Spirit understands that, and the Holy Spirit can help us in order to think in the way we truly want so that we are sharing that which we truly want. So the Holy Spirit may meet one person and help them to alleviate their fears in one way, and another person and help them to alleviate their fears in what may be perceived a more advanced way. That doesn't really matter, whether one seems to be given something they think they need and another one seems to be not given that thing, but instead are being taught they don't really need it. Either way, the Holy Spirit is meeting the one where they seem to be in order to help alleviate their fear. So the Holy Spirit understands the laws of God and can help us to operate within those laws in the way in which we truly want to before we understand what we are doing. So it's really important to give our trust to the Holy Spirit because we are being guided truly by one who knows what we are and is not at all confused by that, even though we are. So again, the Holy Spirit's ability to look beyond symbols into eternity enables him to understand the laws of God for which he speaks. He can therefore perform the function of reinterpreting what the ego makes, not by destruction, but by understanding. Understanding is light, and light leads to knowledge. The Holy Spirit is in light because he is in you, who are light. But you yourself do not know this. It is therefore the task of the Holy Spirit to reinterpret you on behalf of God. So I think we're about done today. I don't think there's enough time to begin another paragraph. So I want to thank you all very much for joining me today. This was a wonderful, wonderful, helpful discussion. I know I plan to listen to it again myself. So thank you. And next Monday, we will begin on paragraph 8. I love you all very, very much. Have a great weekend. Bye.